I'm going to pray. I already did that, but I tell you, you know, when the Lord says something, it's not because, well, you think, I know you're on a throne. He just kept saying, I sit on a throne. I sit on a throne. So I'm then going, okay, why are you telling me this? Because obviously there's a better, bigger reason than just information. You're positioning yourself to us in throne room authority. And then he said, receive grace. Take hold of grace. Hold on to grace so that we could step into the place that he has prepared. So I need to pray into this because this is about, for the last 6 months, this is all that God's been doing and just stepping into and calling me to agree with and to step into Christ. We did this, we're doing this school called the School of Jubilee on Facebook, and the third and fourth class, we wanted to talk about the exalted Christ, but first we had to talk about the throne, because a king without a throne is just a king on the run. Your authority comes from your throne, your position given, and so Christ took hold of a position. So Father, in Jesus' name, I sense the will of God to come and lift up the body of Christ into Christ, into the head, into the place of refuge and rest, and refreshing, in renewal, in submission, in delight, in receiving, in accepting all that you have accomplished. Jesus, you are glorious. You are glorious. And we bless you. And we praise you for this moment. And we thank you that together we can worship from a posture of agreement with all that you've accomplished, all that you're doing, and all that we are going to come into that you've already accomplished, that we are yet to discover and hold and carry and walk in. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the power that is being exercised in the voice of the Lord upon the earth today, and all the disruption as the kingdom of God is being received. Thank you, Lord, for the place that the Lamb sits in the midst of the throne. Thank you for the capacity of movement, of taking the future and advancing it in accordance with your will and your ways. Thank you for being just so huge, but yet so intimate, so close, so calling us to agree together so we can receive all you have. Holy Spirit, we need you because what you're communicating of the glorified Christ is beyond what we would have been familiar with in the days behind, but now are becoming evident in the mystery of Christ as you want to make known the manifold wisdom of God through the church to the principalities and powers and rulers in the atmosphere. We thank you. Lord, we don't feel ourselves qualified, but you have already qualified us. We don't feel ourselves strong, but we are strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We don't feel ourselves sure, but you are our assurance. We don't know how to move, but you grant us boldness. We come through the veil of your flesh. We step inside where Holy of Holies is. We come to the throne of grace to obtain the mercy and find grace to help. We step inside of what is not ours to maintain. It's just ours to receive. Not ours to try to achieve, but it's ours to just accept and dwell and submit to the wonderful, glorious, victorious, triumphant Christ. So, Lord, thank you that we're teaching us to sing these songs, worship you with our heart, bow our knee, give you praise, accept the fullness of your victory. And we ask you today that you would establish this work that you just want to do right now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus appears to John on the Isle of Patmos, and when he does, he shocks him, not necessarily because of beyond revelation, but because it was a manifestation of revelation. It was the revelation of Christ showing up in his glorified state. And he says some powerful things right in the first chapter. If you'd like to get a new vision of Jesus, take chapter 1 of the book of Revelation and worship him with it. Amen. Then after you've done that, go to chapter 4. And then after that, go to chapter 5. Then go on to chapter 7. After you're done with that, you can go over to 11. Then you can go to 15. And by the time you're 15, you're about ready to get married. So go all the way to 19 and get married. And then you can step in on 20 and you get to sit on thrones and rule with God Christ for 1,000 years. And then that's not enough. Go all the way up to 21 and go up to a high mountain and see the Lamb of God, the New Jerusalem descending from heaven. And then might as well just go all the way in and up to 22 and you step inside the throne room where the river of life proceeds out of the throne and where the tree of life is in the midst and where all of God's ministers, servants, sons are there with the name that has been written, his name on our forehead. Yeah. And we minister and we reign with him. Oh, I just love Revelation. I love it because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not about a scary book or about the Antichrist. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ, given to Jesus Christ to give to the church so we could go forward into the future. In John, verse 4, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Remember, if there's a firstborn, there's got to be a secondborn. There's a second, there's a third. We're up somewhere in the 3 billionth born. I don't know, but somewhere beyond that number of the... And to him, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Not gonna be, he is. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So here we are. Here we are, chapter 1. Here we already are, made kings and priests to our God, his Father, to our God, our Father. So something must be up for all of this to have been declared so long ago, and now all of a sudden seems to be happening, seems to be stepping up. Things are shifting, changing, moving quickly. I don't know if you've noticed that, right? Air hugs, masks, fear, ancient evils, prejudices coming up, people frustrated, people demanding. We need to humble ourselves. So I want to just Psalm 2, about 3 years ago, when I was in Jerusalem, the Lord took me to Psalm 2, and he said, I want you to declare this decree now, because this is the new place the body needs to join into agreement with the head, with the king. So if you can go to Psalm 2, verse 1, I'll just start right there. And I began to witness it, and we're actually witnessing it even more so now. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So you can feel the tensions of humanity resisting God's rule over our lives. We were meant to submit to Christ and to receive life. It's just really the best way to live. It's such a huge, glorious place been provided. Nothing more could ever be given. But then again, Adam and Eve, they left the garden opportunity to choose to follow a loser, Lucifer, Satan, into rebellion and separation, and they got out of living in glory. Now Christ has restored us to live inside of glory, though sometimes that's scary to let glory be my resource versus myself. And that's why we then kind of look at things, go, wait a minute, I don't like that. I'm going to change the rules. So what happens when humanity starts rising up, nations? I pray so much for nations these days. Ever since this grows, I pray for leaders of nations, because they are to God just as important to yield, or the advice is to a lot of the leaders to say, wait a minute, you've got to recognize there's somebody who's your boss. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. So next time you hear the news and you wonder, where's this all going, think God's up there laughing. just laughing, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. That means he keeps them in confusion until he speaks to them in his wrath and he distresses them in his deep displeasure. That speaks to a, okay, we're done. Enough. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill. And the king, the set my king is to, it's the anointing. It means to anoint with oil. This is the picture of Jesus Christ on Pentecost. And we began moving this whole year with understanding or learning to submit in Christ as kings and priests to our God. Moving to Pentecost, knowing that he, in his coronation as king and priest, high priest, that outpouring fell upon the body of Jesus Christ, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues all came, and boom, life happened. And this scripture, I have set my king on my holy hill, is that middle moment. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. This is Jesus now speaking forth. This is the scripture. Again, I love, when I'm doing the school, I can just go through the teaching, and I know we have an opportunity to return to it and grow it, so I can just kind of let it just flood out. But right now, while we're in a point of worship and exchange, I'm conscious that God wants our hearts to go at the pace that all hearts can go at. So we sometimes, I pause and I go, Jesus learned to say what he heard the Father say. When he walked the earth, he did it. He said, I don't even say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. We are now schooled, being schooled to only say what we hear Jesus saying and to only do what we see Jesus doing and allowing those truths to just carry us. How we do that is to learn to dwell in Christ and to let his words dwell in us. We grow in close proximity. And when we carry what he's saying, and we sing what he's saying, and we decree what he's saying when we're in prayer, we use his word as a proclamation of who he is. We worship with his word. We abide in Christ, and his words abide in us. We grow up inside of this capacity that we've been given, that we cannot ourselves ever arrive at, but we can receive. We can never earn it, but we can learn it. And we're in this massive school. So Jesus says, I'll declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I've begotten you. So resurrection, coronation, glorification happen like this. Jesus is in the abyss, having suffered for our sins, having become a scapegoat, having become the one who took upon himself the wrath of God. And now all of a sudden the Father says, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Jesus goes, I'm your son. Today I've been begotten. That'll work. That's prayer right there. That's a prayer meeting. That's a prayer meeting. You are my son. Today I've begotten you. I am your son. Today I've been begotten. It's the truth. You'll get it when you go home. Or when you, later on today. You'll get it later on. You'll get it. You'll get it. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. We are his inheritance. Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, Revelation 5, the Lamb of God has taken the scroll because he's worthy, because he's redeemed us by his blood. Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. When the Lord starts to exercise authority, he starts to shift things. He adjusts things. He puts things into the order that they are meant to be under his rule. That can be violent. That can be distressing. That can be liberating. That can be full of joy. Whenever the Lord appears, he comes with salvation. He comes with vengeance. It's not because he's bringing salvation to those having been yielding, processing, trusting, growing, going. We're going, yeah, who? To someone who's going, I want it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm in charge of my way. It's no. So all of a sudden, this rule starts to take place, which is what's happening right now. The earth is shaking because his voice is going forth to the living body, reverberating through the earth, and anything that can shake is shaking, and everything that cannot shake will not shake. And we want to grow, go into that kingdom and hold on to that place with grace and serve him with reverence and godly fear, Hebrews 12. Because now he says, therefore, be wise, O kings. The same kings that were going to throw off his rule and break off his cords. He says, now, be wise, O kings. This is our Lord. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. With the short amount of time we have, I want to bring us into a posture of trust, restored trust in the glory of God, so that the resource of God can be what we rest into and turn toward. I have to show you these couple of other chapters. Chapter 45, Psalm 45. These are familiar verses that are quoted in the New Testament, so they're prophetic descriptions of Jesus. Psalm 45, I'll just start at verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. That's the beginning of a prayer meeting for me. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. That's what praise is all about, is to get, lift him up, make him higher. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. I will start writing these words and descriptive beauty toward the Lord. I will ascribe to him worth and value, scripture, truth. And as I do, I'll end up in prophecy. But let's begin with intimacy. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? Doesn't Jesus speak grace? Doesn't he speak grace? He's always extending grace, always giving a gracious answer and help. Your grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. You gird your sword on your thigh, Almighty One. The Word of God is imagery. It releases what it says. It carries its substance of the words. So when we allow the words to have influence, I mean, I like the idea of my Lord having a sword on his side, the Mighty One, with glory in your majesty. Part of our struggle today is that we have not allowed Jesus to be exalted and glorified and seated at the right hand of God. And therefore, when we go into conflict, we think it's all up to us to do something to get out of it, or it's a merit-based kingdom, and however good we've been, that's how good God will be to us, when neither of those are true. All we have to do is run inside of Jesus Christ and begin to declare who he is and allow who he is to begin to take, to withstand what is coming against us, because he is who he is. When COVID came, we made declarations. And when I went to my prayer time, it wasn't, nothing had changed in the kingdom. Jesus hadn't moved. He was holding this place. He just laughed at me and said, watch now, because I'm going to be the source of all. I'm going to resource you in every way. I will be your health, and I will be your wealth. And you step inside of me and abide in me. And abide in me and step inside of me. Let my words abide in you. So the posture of coming inside of Christ and then allowing his words to abide in us is how these majestic truths find expression in our life, because we then allow him to be that where we are. And in your majesty, ride prosperously. Can you see him coming into work with you? Riding prosperously. Can you see him coming down the blocks and the streets into California, into Los Angeles, into the United States, into Bangkok, into Beijing? I see him. Hong Kong, I see him. I see him ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. Always remember, Jesus is the most humble man you'll ever meet. There is no one more humble than Jesus Christ. Humility is not weakness. Humility is authority and strength and under authority. And he's just in truth, righteousness, but in humility. And your right hand will teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Now, we're a people that are enforcing the rule of God, which is a rule of love, which is a kingdom of liberation and deliverance and salvation, healing and redemption. So we are a people that are actively anticipating God's enemies to fall under him. And how do you fall under the king? Just go, we go to Acts chapter 9 and check out Saul. Saul, the glory of God comes. The voice of God always comes out of the glory. God, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's on the ground. Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? That's being slain in the spirit. Who are you? What do you want me to do? Not what I want you to do for me. No, it's not about me. It's about he. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. What do you want me to do? Rise and go to the city and it will be told you. Opens up. He's blind because pride has blinded him. Now he no longer can see in the light because his whole system of thinking has been shut down and it's to be recalibrated in the next 3 days. Fasting, being quiet until he has a vision. Then Ananias comes, lays hands on him, and he receives his sight. Also Holy Spirit. And also he gets baptized in water, and he is fully in and fully on. And that's the conversions that are coming and are now upon the earth. Upon the earth. This is the model of conversion. We are into, it's an upheaval, but all of a sudden you watch the people. There is going to come, not weeks and months to get into a place of, comfortability with my new salvation and my new identity. Saul just goes right into the synagogue and starts preaching Jesus Christ. Just starts preaching Jesus Christ. And the thing is, when we see him in his glory, we're no longer timid in our own story. We start to declare life from where he is, not from where we are. So though we have been quieted, we will come forth loud because the humility is the way God releases his glory because he gives grace to the humble. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. This just a guy writing a song, and next thing you know, he's prophesying. God liked this part so well that he puts it in Hebrews chapter 2. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Jesus is not just the humblest man you'll ever meet. He's the most joyful man you'll ever meet. He is so full of joy, he can hardly carry himself outside of anywhere but joy because he's just full. Yet, because we've got it. Here am I and the children you've given me. We're for signs and wonders. All we have to do is step into Christ, begin to experience him through his word, step into where he sits in the throne room, and next thing you know, the dimension of life starts to be reshaped, not from the circumstances of life, but from the truth within and the power of God that's commanding truth forward. Oh, I love this. Your garments are... I got to keep going. I just get lost if I go here. Psalm 110. He said he wants the throne emphasized, so I'll get the love story another time. You're just awesome, Jesus. Psalm 110. Yeah, okay. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Current posture of Jesus is seated on the Father's throne, on his throne, at the right hand of God. In total, complete trust that the enemies that have now all been placed under his feet will all be packaged neatly, nicely and neatly into a footstool. You know, right? Your enemies are under your feet, but they're a little wiggly right now. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
They're going to all sit, you know, like the ancient days of ancient kings where they would take their enemies and put them under their feet and make them lay under their feet as a footstool while they sat on their throne. This is a God exercising dominion over a rebellious chaos that he's pulling all back into wonderful unity and beauty and trust. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, I'm saying all of these because Jesus said, I sit on a throne. And we have to use the scripture to describe what the throne is, what he's doing from the throne, what is waiting to be done from the throne, what is coming from the throne. And in this case, he says, get your rod out there again and strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Pentecost came. They went from 120 prayer meeting to 3,000 men getting baptized, never going home. Let's talk about volunteers. Now they're going, well, you know, I don't know. I see if I get a little time to do something, maybe, but kind of don't really have much time to do anything, kind of overwhelmed in life in every way. So I just think I got to sit here and rest and feel better. Wait till the day of power hits you. Day of power, you empty your wallet, you run to the front, you say, what do I do? Because I'm never leaving here. Because it's the rule. It's the reign. It's the beauty. It's the celebration. It's liberty. It's healing. It's deliverance. It's freedom. It's praise. It's worship. It's identification, sonship. It's liberty. It's just, you're all of a sudden, what do I need anything else on this planet for? I'm going to sell my house and give the rest of the money away. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm in. And we're in that moment. It's begun. The beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn, I will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is my righteous king, my king of peace. Melchizedek, it's my righteous king. And you're going to come in that order. The Lord is at your right hand. He will execute kings in the day of his wrath. Beloved, we're in a changing moment. But not because man is overthrowing God's rule, because God's taking over their rule. I mean, he'll talk to you, any of us, if we'll speak his language. He's watching over China right now. There's a balance going on. Measurements that are being taken by, and so I have a real trepidation for China and their future at the moment. And it's not because the political decisions, it's all things turn political. Personal is always political. So if somebody's acting out one way, it's because there's a personal issue inside of them. And so there's much that God wants to do, and he'll speak to us. But it isn't so that we then have to come and try to exercise some authority to make it go that way. You just step inside of Christ and agree with him. Because he's the one that's stepping out. He's the one moving things about. He's the one that's changing things. Go with me to Zechariah chapter 6. Are we okay? I can see you. What? Nod your head. He told me he's sitting on his throne. What am I going to do? Tell him I want to talk about something else? I don't get to do that. I just have to talk about what he's telling me, because that's how I live. I live in him, and I abide with him, and I let his words abide in me. And so we have a conversation that's ongoing. And if he says, today I want you to tell me this, then I'm in. He's in a ruling mood. He's in a ruling mood. He's taking over things. Anything that's shaking apart, he's taking over it. You might think, oh no, it's awful. Yes, of course it's awful, because it's always awful before it's awesome. It's always a test before there's a testimony. There's always injustice before justice finds its way forward. There's always disarray before light comes. When there's chaos, you have to rest in Christ until God speaks. Then light comes. If you don't let light come, all you have is control or law or rules. That has to find its way. But we, the beloved body of Jesus Christ, are coming inside and going, where are we in this moment? How do I hold the grace that I need to hold so I can serve you in a way that's acceptable with reverence and godly fear, anticipating something far greater than man can make things happen? And so that's why prayer, you pray, we go to pray to be with the Lord and listen to how he's speaking and recalibrate and submit. Zechariah chapter 6, and it's about 18, I think. Verse 18, let me find out. No, verse 9, there's no 18 in there. Verse 9, Zechariah 6, 9. This is a prophetic picture of who Jesus now stepped into. The word of the Lord came to me saying, receive from the captives, from Heldai and Tobijah and Jedidiah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and the gold and make an elaborate crown. Set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him saying, and now here's the prophetic. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Anybody know who the branch is? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is the branch, from his place he shall branch out. How is he going to branch out? The members of the body of Christ, the multitude witnesses that we're growing up into. Behold, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Anybody wondering where the temple of the Lord is? Right here. Us, we are the living stones being built together, a holy habitation for God, the many-membered body, so that Christ the head and we are the body growing up all things into him. Behold, the man whose name is Branch, from this place he shall branch out and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord and he shall bear the glory. Glory is the transformation force and provision force and riches force and grace force and love force that we are dependent on to be Christians. We must live in the glory. And the glory is found in Christ. We'll jump over there next. The glory is found in Christ. You want to see the glory of God? Stare in the face of Jesus Christ. Because in the face of Jesus Christ is a radiant, brilliant glory of all the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. The express image, the brightness of his glory. He's the only one who can bear his glory. See, the beautiful thing is I get to be everything Jesus is, but I am not it. That's obvious. I'm at best a battery that gets charged and can go a little ways away before I go boom, 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 boom. But when I'm plugged in fact, I don't even try to be a battery anymore. I'm just hardwired. I can't go very far because the cord won't let me, but I don't even care to go any further than where being in, plugged in, because everything he is, he starts radiating from me, to me, in me. God the Father in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I'm going to gather from the riches of my glory, and I'm going to send through Holy Spirit to strengthen every one of my body with might, dunamis, inside their inner man, so that Christ can dwell permanently in their heart by faith. See, it's not just a believing, assenting that gives Christ permanent residence. It's Holy Spirit power. It's like, I'm going to have to rebuild the inside of you to hold my throne room in you. So we're going to learn, we're going to transform us with words. He transforms us with words. He speaks into us. Life comes, we get a hold of it. We take hold of it. Warfare comes, we get a hold of Jesus. We get a hold of him. He gets a hold of us. And he just starts building. Because he says, he shall sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest to his throne. So he's king and priest. This is why we are kings and priests. Even though we may not feel like we're doing anything or have any real authority that can translate or intercession that we can change, but hey, we do if we just step inside Jesus. We'll be a priest to his throne. The council of peace will be between them both to come into the order that God is bringing in the earth. And trust me, he will bring an order in the earth. He will rule 1,000 years and we will with him, and it will be very much with a rod of iron. Which is why the church is being invited nicely to bow the knee and confess with our mouth again, He is Lord. To get out of our stuff and release our junk and our issues and just continue to submit. Remember, we all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's an adjustment seat. He's like a divine chiropractor, but He's not nice. He's kind, He's generous, but he knows how to just say, well, we could do this over 17 visits, or we could do it right now. He pushes, He releases, He pulls, He's bringing things in order. The council of peace will be between them both. The elaborate crown shall be a memorial. Okay, we have so little time, so many words. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you how to do this. I do this every day. That's why we started the School of Jubilee, because the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the glory of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and us in Christ, a permanent home for glory. Verse 3, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, stop. Let's take it. The Bible's not written so we get educated. The Bible's written so we get transformed. We become what the Bible says in Christ. Now, you will notice this. Everything is in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him. So we have to position ourselves. That's why Jesus said, believe and you're saved. Righteousness is imputed. Follow me, you're going to become a disciple. Dwell in me and you're going to have dominion. Dwelling in Christ is like Christ sitting on a throne. It's holding a place that has been given us that takes some practice, some effort. It takes a prayer life that you have to get up in the morning, readjust yourself back into truth, back into spirit, back into joy, back into peace. We let God define our day. We let Him tell us how to respond in this moment. We just let Him take over, and we get all the benefits: righteousness, peace, and joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness. And next thing you know, we're just, yeah, I'm in the kingdom. So, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us with every spiritual blessing. Can you just lift up your hands and say, God, I want to receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I just receive it in Christ. I'm ready to receive every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And once you do that with your mouth, your heart starts to believe. You always need your mouth and your heart to gauge with God. Whoa. And sometimes revelation starts to come. Scriptures start to come. Holy Spirit starts to come. Truth starts to come. That's your portion being given. That's your inheritance being released. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. I receive it. But it doesn't stop there. It gets better. He says, just as He chose us in Him, there's in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before Him in love. We talk about, I want to get to my future. We'll go back to your past. Your future is in Christ before time began, so you can't lose it because of what happened yesterday. But I'm holy, I'm without blame, and I'm in front of my Papa in Christ, loved. Lift up our hands, let's receive it. Lord, we are holy and without blame because we're in Christ, not because we act that way or nice. We are holy and without blame because we are in Christ. And we're here before You, Father, in love. Before You, in love. Love, love, love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that You have for us in Christ. Come on, let's just receive some love. Just come on, just receive some love. It'll make your day feel better. I am loved, forever loved, will be continually loved, cannot be separated from love. Love, love, love. Love is poured in my heart. See, once you receive, the Holy Spirit expands. But you have to receive for Him to expand. You have to turn to the bush for the bush to talk to you. You got to respond to God for Him to give more, or you get nothing. So we're going in. having predestined us, that means way before time began, he set the boundaries of our beginning, chose our sex, chose our parents, chose our birth date, chose our hell that we're going to walk through, customized, because he wanted to raise up sons to himself. So he says he predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the good pleasure of his will. To his delight. To the praise of the glory of his grace. We are these glory grace. We bring glory to his grace by what he's doing in our life. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. So there's the outcome. Let's just receive that. Go ahead. Posture your heart. Lord, I'm accepted in the beloved because I'm adopted as a son. I'm adopted as a son in Christ, therefore I'm accepted in the beloved. May praise go to your grace. Everybody online, everybody in the house, receive sonship by your mouth speaking and your heart believing and praise going forth. Yes, 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 accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. You can't reject me. I'm accepted. In him we have redemption. In Christ we have redemption. Redemption's even beyond salvation, because redemption is getting you out of your mess since you got saved. It's pulling the sons out of captivity. You can't be called out of captivity if you're not a son yet. It's the ransom of the Lord that returned. It's the path of the redeemed. The redeemed are those who've been given everything but have to learn the process of holding it as valued. And he redeems me through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How much sin have you done since you got saved? Not enough to outweigh the balance of grace. Grace. Grace, 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 grace. Grace to our children, grace to our parents, grace to our nation, grace to the upheaval, grace to the conversations, grace to the protests, grace to the political parties, grace to the election, grace to China, grace to Iran, grace to Afghanistan, grace, grace, grace to Israel, grace. Grace, grace, grace. How far can grace? It just goes on and on and on and on. Which he made to abound toward us. It's like not a timble, it's a boom, dump truck. In wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Ooh. According to his good pleasure. Okay, so I know whatever the will of God is, it's not my pleasure, it's his good pleasure. Which he purposed in himself, not what I purposed. There's... Which is so cool. Once you know that, you can just surrender to God all the better, because it's not up to you to get to where you're supposed to be. It's up to you to receive what he already made you to be. You go, okay, your will, purpose in yourself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we're close to it, we're in it, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everyone. You're either going to be in Christ or under his feet. There's two choices. You can choose which one you'd prefer. I want to be in Christ, not under his feet. Being gathered together in one, all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Okay, let's receive that. Lord, I just the will of God is that everything is gathered into Christ. All of me into all of you. All of my stuff becomes all of your stuff. All of my thoughts become your thoughts, and your thoughts then become my thoughts. I just allow myself, I surrender to the gravitational pull of the throne of God and allow all of myself to return to you. That's a good prayer. You can do that during the day. You'll recalibrate quick. See, we're not trying to become Christians. We've already been given sonship. We're just trying to yield to the truth of sonship, which is only found in Christ with what he's accomplished and is dependent upon Christ. In him also, and I'll close with this part, we obtained an inheritance. Yes, sweet Jesus. We're sons with an inheritance. Everyone in the room, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, and your inheritance can't get lost and can't be stolen from you and it can't be taken by somebody else. It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. Everything that is of ours is obtained an inheritance in him. Being predestined, there we go again, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God's so smart, he thought, let me choose your sonship, let me choose your inheritance, let me choose who you're going to be born into. I'm the boss of everything. And my son has now redeemed everyone. And salvation is extended to all men. And all I ask you, for each of you to do is do what Adam wouldn't do. Surrender and trust me with what I said and follow me into that encounter and let me be your source. I'm your source. So, woohoo! We got an inheritance. It's in Christ. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Isn't that funny that when all this talk about inheritance, it isn't like he defines it all that. And this nationality will have this portion, and this people will have that portion, and this church will have that portion, and this thing will be that portion, and this is what your inheritance. No, you know what inheritance shows up as? Trust. 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 My daddy owns it all. I'm in Christ. He provides for me in every way. And I'm going to just resort. I'm going to allow his glory to be my source. And he's on a throne, so he's not limited. And he owns everything. He's the boss of everyone. He can do anything. Now, why doesn't he just do it then? Because if he was just to exercise the level of authority that is about to be exercised in a single moment, we would just all have whiplash. We'd be fighting against God faster than anything. We wouldn't recognize him because he'd come in so bossy with his rod and breaking things in pieces and dashing them like. No, he just says, come here. Follow me. Come inside of me. Listen to my words. Dwell with me. Listen to my words. Dwell on my words. Let me live inside of you. Come and spend time with me. Let's be together. We need to be together. Let's be together. We need to be together. I need to do things in you. I want to do things for you. That's a lifetime journey. Now, what's happening is the outside's getting a lot less comfortable. So much of the body will start running inside. Because that's the way. One way that when the world becomes too much our source and God says, I'm a jealous God and I want all of my sons and daughters back, so that this stuff starts shaking, oscillating, breaking apart, and all of a sudden we're going, whoo, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And he says, am I here in the Bible? Every word, I am Jesus Christ. Come and receive me. And then we just step in. That we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. The restoration of all relationship is seen in trust. When trust is restored, relationship is whole. When trust is restored, relationship is whole. Whether it's in a marriage, whether it's parents and children, whether it's nationalities, ethnos, when trust is restored, a relationship is whole. That's to the praise of glory. That's to the praise of glory. In the garden, Adam was sustained in glory. He walked around in a glory clothing. So did Eve. They were naked but not unashamed. When the glory left because they sinned, they broke agreement with God, they went off to do it on themselves, they tried to resource life from within, so no longer sustained by grace or carried by glory, they came into fear and shame and went in hiding and blaming. When you and I step out of hiding, blaming, fear, and shaming, we're in glory. And when we're in glory, we're restoring the praise to God of his glory sustenance. He wants to take care of me. Yes. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to heal your body. He wants to deliver us from sickness and disease and bring forth salvation and hope and healing. But he does so in a fashion where we don't dictate. We get to receive. We get to agree. We get to allow him to speak when it's not always acceptable. Let me just close. Heavenly Father, I thank you because I feel your spirit here to establish a glory connection for everyone here. Everyone online, everyone in the room, I feel the connection of the glory. We've been praying all through this, so let's do this for a moment. Let's receive in Christ an inheritance. which means that we're cared for, protected. We're coming inside the glory. He has a job for you if you need one. He has finances whether you work or don't. He has love whether someone knows you or doesn't. He is love. He is marriage. He is health. He is hope. He is healing. He is everything. And he's restoring us into the glory. He sits on a throne. He rules everywhere. He's about to take over more and more things, which will at first look like upheavals and losses of things. Meanwhile, we can run inside. It's safer inside Jesus Christ. Everybody, wherever you are in your journey, let's turn and turn into Christ. Turn into, not into like I'm Christ, but turn into inside of Christ and come inside Christ. Christ, you're everything. Lord Jesus, we bless you. We bless you that you're everything. What do you need? Come into Christ and receive whatever it is you need. What is it that's pulling apart your life? Come into Christ and let his authority put it back in place. I bow my knee. I kiss the Son. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. There is a grace that's being extended right now. I have so much more to teach you, but I can't right now. But there is a grace that's being given to anyone who says, I'll go in and be with Jesus tomorrow. I'll go spend some time in the truth of the word and in the presence of Jesus. I'll come in and identify with the victorious, triumphant one. I'll live in that place until that place is where I live. I'll learn that place until I can find it anywhere and anytime. There's a grace coming right now for all over the earth. Because we're not a people that are just being haphazard and forgotten and misplaced and displaced. We are a people of the Christ, of the high and exalted one. And we are being collected together, gathered into one, all of us. The will of God is to gather all of us into one, both in heaven and earth. And once we're in the one, then he activates as we are each individually, heart to heart, coming into faith. Then next thing you know, the word of God comes alive. Spirit of God breaks open in our midst and we start to feel, I'm having a revival inside of me. There's a revival inside of you. You don't want a revival outside of you. You want a revival inside of you. There's a revival. Some of us are about this week to have revivals day in, day out. You're going to be so nutty, you don't know what to do with yourself because you're so gloriously saved, so happy. And all the things that are pining away and oh no, oh me, oh I wish I could, I should have, I would have, I could have, I didn't. No, who cares? Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything I lost is to gain Christ. Everything I failed in is so I could give him the victory over it. Ha ha. He's coming. He's bringing us in. He's bringing us in. He's bringing us in. It's for everyone. Everyone, everyone. Receive. All we do is with our heart, we believe. With our mouth, we come in. We recite the composition of our King. Then in Christ, we allow the Spirit of God and the truth, the Word of God, to begin to define who he is, which is who we are in him. Whoever he is, we are in him. We are not ever apart from him. Apart from him, we're a burnt branch. We have nothing. But in him, all of him is ours. And we begin to give him praise for it. He's health, he's healing, he's wealth, he's victory, he's triumph, he's joy, he's king, he's Lord. The council of peace is between his kingship and his priesthood. Oh, I want to release now. I believe the one last thing. Whoa. Just stand up for a moment and worship him. Everybody in your heart, in your spirit, at home, if you're driving, don't have to stand up. But just let him usher you in. Let him usher you in. Worship him. Worship him, the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. Majestic, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you be ancient gates. Let the King of glory come in. I receive you. Lord, strong am I. You are victorious in my life, triumphant in every way. You are a healer, a deliverer, a redeemer, life giver. Hallelujah, Jesus! Oh, you're the restorer of the streets to dwell in. You're bringing kings to bow the knee to. You're directing the new. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's moving along the planet. He's bringing healing into the land. He's doing it. When we praise the King, we soon prophesy for the King. When we praise the King, we soon prophesy for the King. Prophesy. Prophesy. America is going to come into the greatest revival awakening that she's ever known in the history of her world. Not right winning against wrong, but all men bowing their knee and hearts bowing the one who gave them life, confession to the faith in Jesus Christ, awakening of hearts. We're coming back. We're coming back to Jesus Christ. All men, all women, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration, God bringing us out of where we got ourselves into what he prepared for us. Trying to release your grip. Release your grip. Let go. Let go. Let go. Release your grip. Let go. Let go. Let go. Don't hold on so tightly. It's not for you to control like that. Let go. Let go. California, receive the awakening. Receive the outpouring of the Spirit. Receive the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God in the history of the world. Receive. Prophesy to your family. Prophesy to your business. Prophesy to your children. Prophesy. Prophesy. He's coming to do a great, glorious, victorious, triumphant work. Shy and mama, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are. King of glory, King of glory.
You gather it all together.
Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. Gatherings as one, into him. Giving us each a portion of his inheritance, who we've been given to become and be. Faith rising, trust growing. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is rising upon each and every one. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. He's risen upon us. Upon us. Jesus, Jesus, you are Jesus. You are, you are. You rise and shine. See yourself arising and shining and rejoicing. The redeemed of the Lord returning. Joy and gladness upon our heads. Sorrow, signs fleeing away. There are healings in the back right now going on, both online and in the house. If your back has been hurt, whether it's sprained or a disc or a muscle, there is just a healing going all around the midsection, lower part of the back, up into the shoulders. It's like a healing, like a yoke breaking anointing. Ha ha. A yoke breaking anointing. Yeah. Where we've been bent down under weights and burdens. Breaking off. There's a healing. Just receive your healing. Yeah. Online. Receive your healing. It's about the whole left leg is being brought back into right order. Like one's too short and one's too long. It's coming back into oneness. Order, peace. Yeah. And hearts. Yeah. Hearts that were fragmented. He's coming to sit. Pull them together and bring them to one. He's near the brokenhearted. He comes near the contrite. He comes near those who've been ran over by a steamroller. And he restores. Receive your restoration. You're going to feel life again. You're going to You're going to be able to love again. You're going to be able to trust again and sing again and shout. Pining, sorrow, sighing, fleeing away. Get on the King's highway. It's a redeeming highway. It's a restoration highway. It's a renewal highway. It doesn't matter where we've been. All we have to do is get back on the road, and we are there. In. We're going to get into prayer for the nations, the global prayer for the nations. Larry and Melanie are about to take us. And if you would like, come join them over there at our nation's prayer, those of you that are in the house. Otherwise, you're free to move into your day. I just thank God. Will you do this for him? Will you go be with Jesus tomorrow? Go get inside of him. Go explore this vast kingdom that we've been given. Go enjoy him. Go and just enjoy him. Just rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. Let's do it, right? Let's do it. Let's just go crazy for a week. Crazy in God. Just exploring massive blessings. We bless Larry and Melanie. We bless Jerusalem. We bless the United States of America. We bless our next half hour in global prayer. Take us, lead us, and guide us forward, and bless the house of Jubilee and all over the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.